I still remember a particular Christmas, probably in middle school. Most of my siblings were still at home, so I know it had to be earlier in age, but we were living in Roscoe, and I was sharing a room with my two little brothers, and we were excited about Christmas morning. We wanted to go down and have Christmas morning, you know, open the presents, do the whole Christmas morning experience. We went to Vigil Mass last night. We were excited about, you know, all the possibilities of what we could do and all the things that could happen. And we were, of course, anxious, myself and my two little brothers, so we waited as long as what we thought humanly possible to wait before pounding on our parents' door and asking if we could go downstairs. So it was late. It was probably, I don't know, 5:45 in the morning, you know. I mean, we waited as long as we could, you know. It seemed reasonable to us. And we were told that it was not yet quite time yet and that we were to play quietly in our room. We did one of those two things. You can draw your own conclusions. Play quietly. We did one of them. And we tried for a while. You know, it was more successful than not most of the time. But we reached a point where we just ran out of patience and a fight broke out between my two younger brothers. And I watched this fight go down. There's about 3.5 years between my two brothers. And I know at that age that could be a big advantage, you know, being 3 years older. And I watched for a while as the younger of the two got the advantage and was choking out his big brother, and I finally had to step in, and I lifted the smaller of the two up off the ground, and I explained to him that he couldn't hurt his brother like that, because just because he was smaller than his brother didn't mean that it was fair that he was winning the fight. So, you know, he probably needed to stop that. So that really didn't necessarily end as quickly as they may have wanted it to. My youngest of my brothers obviously still wanted to keep at it a little bit longer, so I began to repeatedly pick him up and throw him on the ground until he surrendered, which took a few tries and terrified my other brother because he didn't want to get involved in that fight. He was already picking up one of them and throwing him on the ground. So, you know, at this point, one of my brothers has a bruise on his face and is kind of purplish. The other one probably has a concussion or a head wound of some sort. It's pretty likely. And of course, it's that time that my father comes in and discovers that apparently we can no longer wait any further, and then begins to rouse the other siblings so that we can have Christmas morning, you know, so that we don't have to spend the morning in the ER. But, you know, it's entertaining, it's family. So we began to rouse the troops and work our way downstairs, some of them shambling down like zombies, the rest of us running down, never being chased by zombies. You know, we made our way into the living room and brewed up some coffee and got the rest of the siblings out of bed, and we sort of gathered into the living room, and I think some of them were operating on, I don't know, hour and a half of sleep. You know, we were doing great. And then the distribution of presents, of course, begins, and there's a new fight that gets to break out, largely because some people want to distribute presents even though they can't read yet, and others don't necessarily feel the need to distribute presents even though they can read. So, you know, we have to kind of settle that one. And apparently an older fight got to start up anew again. One of my older brother and one of my older sisters apparently were trying to fight without fighting in front of anyone, but still trying to continue a fight that apparently had started the night before while I was in bed. And now my father is trying to figure out why he has to referee a Christmas morning instead of celebrate Christmas morning, and why we actually look like we've all joined an underground fight club with the various bruises and cuts on our faces. But, you know, it's pretty sure they went there the night before, but, you know, now we've got them here. And once all the presents are distributed, for that moment, we have this incredible moment where we open presents and we see genuinely the love that we have for each other. And for a whole 55 seconds, there is peace in the world. And there is a great reminder that we actually do love our brothers and sisters. And we actually get to consider in that moment all of the great gifts that we have in having our brothers and sisters. Some of the gifts we received, we didn't want it. Some of the gifts that we received, we didn't know we want, but after we opened the present, we're not really sure how we live life without them. And it was, in that incredible moment, a reminder of what a gift it is to have a family. Never underestimate that today we celebrate the feast of the Holy Family. We celebrate the feast of this holy family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And that in God's unending sense of humor, God gave each and every one of us a family. And I want to stress God's sense of humor because sometimes we have those siblings we just can't stand for long periods of time, like half to two-thirds of our lifetime, all of it. And other times we have those siblings that we absolutely couldn't imagine life without. And that there is somewhere in between this great reminder to us that each and every one of our siblings are both a great gift and that bizarre curse we have to endure for our entire lifetime. And that while they may frustrate us at times, we're not really sure we'd want to live without them at the same time. And that it is in God's great plan and design that we have families. That we have families so that we can not only learn what it is to be loved, but also learn what a trial it can sometimes be to show love. And that our family is that microcosm, that domestic church, that beginning point by which we get to learn all of the great influence that God has given us. And that through our families, we are taught not only how to treat our brothers and sisters, but ultimately we learn how to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. That we get to see how it is that we're supposed to interact with the world by how we interact at home. I still remember a priest telling us all one day that we needed to be more like the Holy Family. He looked at me and said, you need to act more like the Holy Family. They are the great model of the family that we're supposed to live into. And I responded to the priest, I said, sure, that sounds nice. Jesus didn't have any brothers or sisters to fight, so it made it much easier. It's easy to look good when you don't have to fight your brothers and sisters. I mean, come on, that's all too easy. And yet I think there is a great sort of tongue-in-cheek moment that the model family, this holy family of ours that we are to live into and follow by example, in some ways is hardly a model family. Do not underestimate that Joseph may have been considerably older than Mary, that Mary was betrothed to a man she did not know and was married to him without ever actually getting a choice in the matter, that Mary had a child before she was married, so she had a pregnancy out of wedlock, that Joseph was in fact a foster father, and while he may have known who his son's real father is, still raised him as his own. So this holy family that we are called to model after includes, but is not limited to, pregnancies outside of marriage, foster fathers, and the adoption of children. I think it is that great reminder to us that we may never have the perfect model. We may never get to live into the perfect imaginary family that we might be able to conjure up in our minds, but that we are in fact imperfect. The very reason that we need God in our lives is that great reminder that we live in imperfect families that are still called to love. That we live in less than perfect circumstances and still challenged each and every day to respond to a love that we have already been given. And that we cannot suddenly take the high ground and say, I will do these things when someone does them first. Because the fact of the matter is, God has already given us limitless love. God has already considered our circumstance and given us great gifts in our need. And God led the way by being the one who was willing to love even before we were loved. It falls to us now to respond to an invitation of love that we have already been given and to grow into that love and willingness to place the good of the other in front of our own. That as we celebrate this feast of the Holy Family, what we have here is a reminder that our families, whether we love them or they drive us crazy or all of the in-between, are in fact a gift from God. And that if we truly are to celebrate today, we celebrate it by considering how are we going to live in love of our family and follow the model that we have already been given.